right. Well, good morning, Central. It is good to see you folks. Someone told us that we were missed on that last Sunday of 2018. But please know that Brenda and I missed being with you all. And I had that thought this morning, just driving up 169 north, heading this way to Owosso, that just very, very grateful that God ordained and brought you into our lives and us to you, and we don't take that for granted. We appreciate just being able to be with you every week. Well, I guess I should say Happy New Year. It is the first Sunday of the new year, and I trust God was faithful to you in 2018, which, here's the deal. He was. Now, the question is, were we faithful to him? But as we move into this new year, we can know that he will be faithful once again to us. And it's just an awesome thing to think about a God who is great and who is good and who is faithful. And just as he pursued us and loved us and grows us and works in our hearts and lives last year, he's going to be committed to do the same thing this year. And so I'm grateful for that. You know, I was thinking about, well, what do you do on the first Sunday of the new year? And it just seemed like Brenda asked me this morning, she said, well, what are you preaching on? And I said, well, it just seems like 2019 should be in the title. So that is the title of this message, Fulfilling Our Purpose in 2019. Now, when you think about a new year, you think about, for some people, maybe that previous year is, you know, they can't wait to get out of that year. Because maybe it's been a tough year. It's been a difficult year for any number of reasons. And so they look forward to new beginnings and maybe some better things to happen. But when you think about a new year, I don't know about you, but you think about that thing called New Year's resolutions. And no doubt, probably in every section of us this morning gathered in this place, some of us have made some New Year's resolutions. Now, I read, just to, you know, depress us a little bit more, 92% of us are going to fail in those New Year's resolutions. In fact, some would say already, Pastor Brian, here it is, January 6th, and I've already failed. I've already blown it, whatever it was. You know, I've already messed up and I've fallen short. But did you know, church, that those types of things, recommitments, resolutions, re-upping, whatever you want to call it, that's really nothing new. People have been doing that historically for years and years. I came across this stuff this week. The Babylonians made promises to their gods at the start of each year. Some of the things that they would commit to or say to that would be that they would return borrowed objects and pay their debts. The Romans began each year by making promises to the god Janus, which is where we get the word for our first month of the year, January. And then in medieval times, knights would take what was called a peacock vow, which was at the end of the Christmas season, they would reaffirm their commitment to chivalry. So I wasn't really sure what a peacock vow was. I mean, I know what a peacock is, you know, the bird with the big feathers and all that and beautiful and all that stuff, but I didn't know what that was. So I looked it up, and what I found was these knights would reaffirm or make their commitment to the code of chivalry, which was ultimately the idea is that you would live your life so that it was worthy of respect and honor. And the way that you did that, it kind of fell in a number of categories like fair play, nobility, valor, honor, courtesy, and finally loyalty. And so in that, here was part of a code of chivalry that these knights in this peacock vow would commit to. In the area of fair play, they would never attack anybody from behind. That seems like a fair thing. Or they would never charge an unhorsed opponent. So I guess that's being fair. Nobility would be to protect the innocent, to show respect to authority, and to obey the law and exhibit self-discipline. Valor would be to exhibit courage in word and in deed. That's a valiant thing to do, to fight with honor, to never abandon a friend, ally, or even a noble cause. In the area of honor, always maintain one's principles and avoid deception, never betray a confidence or comrade. In courtesy, to be polite and attentive and to exhibit manners. As far as the courtesy to being attentive, I expect you to do that for the next however many minutes that I'm up here. Please be attentive if you can. If not, well, you need to, I don't know what you need to do. But anyway, and then finally, loyalty to God, sovereign, country, and the code of chivalry. But despite all the, if you will, prevalence of setting resolutions and beginning of the year goals and all of that kind of stuff, you know, sometimes it begs the question of how do we fulfill our purposes this year? How do we fulfill those purposes personally? How do we fulfill those purposes in and through our families? How do we fulfill those purposes as Central Baptist Church? How do we get the right things done? You know, it would be, kind of like spinning your wheels, if you will. If you go about getting some things done, that's all fine, well, and good. But what if it's not the right things when it comes to the spiritual side of it? What if it's not the things that God wants us to do, that God has laid upon our hearts? Those right things for those of us that call ourselves a member, a part of, involved in, we play a role in that which is Central Baptist Church. It would revolve around living for Christ and loving God and loving people and making disciples. So how do we go about doing all the right things that would accomplish those things? And so as I thought about that in preparation for today, one of the things that is pretty obvious, but it's what came to my mind, was that knowing God is the most important thing. It's the most important thing. I mean, surely there's important things in our lives and in our families, and certainly in this church, there's important things that revolve around the community of Owosso and, our Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, the uttermost parts of the world. There's important things, but it all goes back to knowing God will be the most important thing. We sang in the first service, I need thee, O God, I need thee. I need thee every hour. Every hour I need thee. That's basically saying, God, you're the most important thing. I need to know you in everything. And the reason that I would say something like that to us, church, that seems so obvious, especially if you sit here this morning and you're a Christian. Well, yeah, Pastor Brian, obviously. I mean, knowing God will be the most important thing. That's an obvious thing. The reason that God will be the most important thing in 2019, and you know what? Knowing God was the most important thing, by the way, for 2018. And it's the same thing this year. The reason why that is the most important thing is because we never know what a year will bring. We just don't know. There's going to be events that take place. There's going to be things that happen. Some of those will be the type that they'll grab headlines. You know, we'll get sick of the headlines about some of those things. Some will be more obscure. Some events and some situations and things will take place. Some will affect us definitely more directly than others. But it is God Himself is our certainty in 2019. He was our certainty last year, and He's going to be our certainty this year. The Bible says it this way in Psalm 102, verse 12. It says, "But You, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations." You, God, are enthroned forever. Our God sits on the throne. He sat on the throne in 2018. He's still on the throne 6 days into this new year. Our God will not be dethroned. There is nothing that is going to conquer our God. Our God is the conqueror. Our God has already conquered. And by His grace, as Christ followers, as saints, we get to live victorious lives in Christ Jesus because God has conquered. He is the one who is enthroned and will stay enthroned. When there is chaos and there is things all around us that seem uncertain, God is certain. I like what one person wrote, "It isn't fate, but faith that determines how we handle unfolding events." Listen, church, there will be some unfolding events that even you do not know that will unfold in your life or your family. There might be some events that begin to unfold that we, even as Central Baptist Church, as a church family, they will unfold in 2019 that we could not even have tried to predict or know that they were coming. And it's not fate, but it will be faith that determines how we handle those unfolding events. See, the certainty is, church, is that even in the midst of uncertainty, the reality is that God doesn't change. His grace is sufficient for you and for me. Listen from that same psalm in verse 4. It says it this way, and these verses speak of the reality of our frailty and our humanity. The psalmist says, "My heart is struck down like grass, and it has withered." You ever been your heart just aches? People's hearts are broken. People's hearts are burdened. "My heart is struck down like grass and has withered." In verse 11, it says, "My days are like an evening shadow." How many of us know shadows come? They're here for a while, and then they're gone. These things in our lives can be uncertain, and they can be gone sometimes sooner than later. But, oh God, You are enthroned forever. And You are remembered from generation to generation. It's not going to be fate, church, but it's going to be faith that helps us determine how we deal with and handle unfolding events. That's why knowing God is always the most important thing. Jenny Wilson wrote this, "Time is filled with swift transition. So build your hopes on things that are eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand." I told Miss Brenda yesterday, I said, "Hey, I said, I just thought I'd let you know this is quite exciting. Actually, it's kind of depressing, but, you know, things had been going good for a while there, you know, with some of our retirement stuff. And then I made the huge mistake. I got online to see what was happening. Where were you all when I needed you? Someone should have stopped me. I said, honey, we've lost $10,000 in the last 3 months. That was kind of depressing. But you know what, church? What does that matter if I know God and God knows me? Because that's the most important thing. It doesn't matter whether I've got a huge retirement nest egg, or I don't have a retirement nest egg. What matters is that I know God and God knows me. That's what really matters. That's what, you know, when she says and wrote, time is filled with swift transition. Listen, I may have lost $10,000 in the last 3 months. I may lose $10,000 before this message is even over. Transition can happen swiftly, but when our hope is built on things that are eternal, she wrote, then that's when we hold on to God's unchanging hand. God doesn't change. Church, our world is changing all the time. Things are changing all around us, but you know what's certain? Is our God. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today, and he's going to be the same tomorrow. He was all of that in 2018, and he's going to be all of that in 2019. That's why knowing God is the most important thing. Central Baptist Church is going to have decisions to make this year, seeking the heart and mind of God and making some of those decisions, getting guidance and direction, figuring out what to do, to know what to do, to make God honoring, being right in the middle of God's will type of decisions. You know, here's an opportunity that we've heard about. Do you know, church, how old that experiencing God, maybe some of you young ones, you don't know about this class or this discipleship thing called experiencing God. Man, that has been around for a while. And do you know that God is still using that today in people's lives, making them more into the image of his son? Because what it calls people to do is to simply find out and see where God is at work and get involved in all of that. You want to get more godly in 2019. You want to grow closer to God. You want to have that assurance and that confidence and that strength to know that God is God and he's not going to forsake you and he's not going to abandon you and he's going to be with you every step of the way in 2019, regardless of what comes. Find out what God is doing and get involved in where he's at work. It doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be all of this glamorous type stuff. Listen, church, I said this in the first service. I don't want Central Baptist Church to be the most popular church. I want it to be the most humble, God-seeking, committed, faithful church that says, God, I want to know your heart. God, I want to do what you want me to do, starting with my life and in my family and ministering to people through my church. Our church is going to have to make some decisions, and knowing God and his heart in the midst of those decisions is a very, very important thing, but where you start is you start by knowing God. So knowing God will be very, very important. But the second thing is to believe and obey the Scripture. When you think about Scripture, to know this, there's a couple of things that's good to know is that Scripture is inspired. That Scripture is inspired. The Bible tells us that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says this, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture come from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Message translation says it this way. It's that the belief that God's very words, God's holy scriptures are inspired by Him. The Message translation says it this way. The main thing is to keep in mind here is that no prophecy of Scripture, and I love this, is a matter of private opinion. I love that translation. It's the same thing as what it is in the ESV of simply knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, someone's own matter of private opinion. First, it was not something that was concocted in the human heart, but prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted men and women to speak God's word. Church, nothing will be important than knowing God in 2019 and knowing His Word and walking in obedience and faithfulness to His Word. And to know that it's inspired, that we go to the Scriptures to know God, how God is, to get confidence to live this life the way that we're supposed to live it. To gain assurance and guidance and direction, even conviction, to know what it means to be saved, to be born again. God gives us all of that and reveals His mind and His heart through His Word. And the Scripture tells us that it was inspired, that it didn't come from some human being. It didn't come from some man or some woman. It came from God Himself as people were led by God's Spirit and spoke God's Word. Where do we go to know God? Where do we go to find what it means to walk in obedience to the Scripture? We've already been challenged. Some would say, oh, I don't need to give money. I don't need to put money in the pot. They got enough money down there at the church to do ministry and stuff. You know what? It really is true. It really is. I promise, church, God doesn't need your money. And He doesn't need my money. But the joy that comes from a heart and a life that is being changed and transformed to realize the God that has everything and knows everything, that He also has control and is Lord over my finances, that reveals and shows my faith and trust that He won't leave me, He won't forsake me. That's the way I want to live, church. How about you? And so there's joy and there's rejoicing that we can give and that God can take that and multiply that and use that. But if we all stood up right now and said, you know what? I'm not going to give a dime to the church next year. Guess what, church? It may cause some of us to go, oh no. Like I see Brother Matt over there right now. He's going, what are you saying? No. Listen, you think that would cause God, who the Scripture says is enthroned, He's on His throne forever and forever and forever and for every generation that comes and every generation that goes, they will know that there is a one true God. What God wants from us is simply our life. And that includes everything. This must be in the Spirit because I didn't say all that money stuff in the first service. It must have been for some of you. I don't know what's going on here. But I know this, church, that in 2019, more than likely, it isn't going to be seamless and smooth. I want that. I can tell by look on Ryland's face, that's what he wants. Maybe we're the most unspiritual people here, but I want my life this year as smooth and as seamless as possible. I don't want struggles. I don't want problems. I don't want obstacles. I want my $10,000 back that I just lost in the last 3 months. Come on, can I get a witness? I want it back. It isn't going to be seamless and without problems. More than likely, 2019 will not be strangely problem-free. It isn't going to be like that. More than likely, it will not be secure at all times or sure in every aspect of life. But you know what will be sure? God's faithfulness, God's love, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. I've been reading recently in a leadership book, and one of the things that chapters that caught my attention was it said simply these two words, servant leadership. And that chapter was written by the former CEO of AT&T. And in thinking about these verses, because again, the verses reference knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever produced in the heart and the mind, the will of man, but men spoke as God led them and as they were carried by His Spirit. And so I was reading this chapter on servant leadership, and this former CEO of AT&T wrote these words, prophetic voices, and that because, you know, I was studying and considering prophecy and all of that and the Word of God and Scripture and obedience to Scripture and all of those things. And so when I read this, it jumped off the pages. Prophetic voices of great clarity. Church, I want to tell you the Word of God today has great clarity. It had great clarity in 2018 and it has great clarity this year. The prophetic voices, the Word of God speaks clearly into the hearts and minds of people today, just like it did yesterday, just like it did last year. He went on to write, and with quality of insight equal to that of any age. The Word of God spoke clarity and truth into the hearts and minds of people in the 12th century, and it does it today in this century. And it is speaking cogently all the time. But the variable, he goes on to write, that marks some periods of barrenness and some as rich when it comes to prophetic vision is in three levels. It is in the interest, the level of seeking, and the responsiveness of its hearers. Listen, church, in 2019, if we don't realize that knowing God is the most important thing and studying and analyzing and meditating and talking about and letting iron sharpen iron with other Christians as we talk about the Word of God and try to apply God's truth to our lives so that we live these God-fearing, God-honoring lives before a God who is righteous and holy in majesty and splendor and is worthy of our worship, and walk in obedience to the Scriptures. If we lose interest in 2019 in the Word of God, listen, church, there will be loss in our lives. There will be loss in our families. There will be loss in our church. If we lose interest, if we don't seek, if there is not a level of seeking that, God, you have given me, your word tells me, Pastor Brian has reminded me that this didn't come out of the heart and the mind of an individual, of a person. This came from you. This is your words to me. And I'm to believe those words and walk in those words and apply those words. If there's not a level of seeking and there's not a responsiveness of the hearers, I love when Brother Kevin, week after week, says, you know, that we would leave this place, praying that we would leave this place better than when we came in. Listen, church, there is a mission field waiting for us. Students, there's a mission field for you at your schools. There's a mission field in our places of employment. There's a mission field on our neighborhood street. There's a mission field in someone who is sitting there wondering if they even want to live another day. And God wants to use you, and He wants to use me to say, listen, if they'll just know me and realize I already know them, I want to be the cornerstone of their life. I want to be the foundation of their life. That no matter what kind of uncertainty may come our way in 2019, that I am certain. So church, may we not lose interest. May we have a level of seeking, and may we respond. You see, believing and obeying the Scripture, when you think about that, the Word tells us that it is inspired. That means, church, it's not coming from people. It came from God Himself. And that leads us to this, that Scripture is also sufficient. In one of the most, as John MacArthur says, the most monumental, concise statements in all of Scripture about its sufficiency is found in Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7. And it says this, that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules or decrees of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Listen, church, Scripture is comprehensive. It is complete. It is without error. It is inerrant, and it is what pulls our lives together. As one person says, God uses His Scripture to reveal Himself to His creation. And people are converted, and people are transformed, even the most broken of us. To obey the Scriptures, to believe the power and testimony of God's Word that can take an undisciplined, ignorant, gullible, undiscerning person and make them wise, skilled in the art of godly living. Scripture says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. There's joy in knowing that you're on the right path, that you're doing the right things. Many become distressed and despondent and despairing and doubting and desirous, depressed, desirous in need of help, in need of hope. And the clarity of Scripture brings understanding where there's ignorance. The clarity and the power of Scripture brings order to where there is confusion, light where there is moral darkness. The person who possesses the fear of the Lord has a reverential awe for God that compels them to worship God, and the Word of God becomes our perfect, eternal manual on how to do that. It's knowing God will be the most important thing in walking in obedience and believing His Scriptures. But thirdly, to embrace the certainty of Christ. To embrace the certainty of Christ, to know that the promises of God are true today and they'll be true tomorrow. That God does not change, that His goodness will not waver. That though we be found faithless, He will be faithful. The scripture tells us in Psalm 100, verse 5, that his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. For what can we expect in changing times, church? We can expect an unchanging God to bear us up. We can expect maybe some things to happen, some even tragedies to befall the world, but we can be God's messengers of hope and hands of help to those who are trying to deal with those tragedies. God forbid that some crises or things come into your life or to mine or our families or even our church family. But if some of those things happen, we can be channels of God's strength in times of weakness, in times of need. We certainly can expect this. We can expect politics to tie our nation into knots. Come on, anybody? I'm so tired of politics. I'm so tired sometimes of our leaders, but you know what? What we can do, church, is we can pray for those leaders. We can lift them up before God, and we can pray for them. We can take our stand for Christ in a darkened age. And though there may be even some persecution that might worsen, we can stand alongside one another and others when people are oppressed and persecuted. If poverty worsens, we can be gracious. If conflict strikes, we can be peacemakers. If a friend falls into sin, we can come alongside them and speak truth in love and grace, rather than bring words of condemnation. Because you see, church, God has brought us into a year, 2019, a new year, to share Jesus Christ with a new generation. And we should be found taking every opportunity that we can to do that. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, the leadership torch is passed. The question is, and the statement is, haven't I commanded you strength and courage? Strength and courage to us, church. Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. For God, your God, is with you with every step that you take. You see, church, when you know God, and you know God is the most important thing, and you know the power and the truth that is the Word of God, and to walk in obedience and faithfulness to that, and sometimes, yes, we'll stumble along the way, and sometimes we might have to repent, but to walk in obedience to His Scriptures and to embrace the certainty of Christ is to know that God is with us every step of the way that we take. Whether it's steps of surrender or submission or trust or faith, whether it's steps of when we're leading or whether we're following, we'll know that God is with us every step of the way. You know, one of the things that we are grateful for is, church, we really are. We want you to know that. And I'm not trying to be sentimental or emotional or anything like that. But we are grateful for that which is and those who are Central Baptist Church. My wife and I love you all. We do. We're grateful that God ordained for us to come together last year. And He'll ordain how long we stay together and how long this relationship lasts. Aren't you glad when God brings certain people into your lives at certain times? It's amazing how God does that. You were a part of that for us, and you still are. But God has brought another gentleman into my life. It was also last year, and I appreciate that. He is, I consider him a dear friend, and he's okay in my book because he gave me two copies of books that he's written, and he gave them to me for free. Because you know how that's one of the things against preachers and ministers. We're always wanting free stuff. You know what? I had to come to grips with, you know, we really kind of are like that. That's kind of embarrassing to admit that. But he gave me two books. And one of them has to do with the Bible. It has to do with the Bible. But the other one is entitled The Road to Success. And I've actually been spending more time in his book on the one that has to do with the Bible. But I grabbed this one the other day, and right in the beginning of this book is an actual poem that he wrote. And I want to read it to you this morning. It's entitled, As We Think. When you're feeling overwhelmed and full of despair, when you can see nothing but troubles everywhere, when nothing you do seems to work out just right, don't give in to anger, bitterness, hatred, or spite. Church, you ever been there when it seems like everything you do, it doesn't turn to gold, it turns to dust and ashes? It isn't working. Church, you ever despaired or feel overwhelmed? Anybody? Look, that's half the reason I come to church sometimes. Life can be overwhelming. He goes on to write, instead, go outside and look up to the sky and think of our loving Lord and Savior on high. For you will feel a calm assurance come over your soul, and you will be strengthened to pursue every personal goal. God's blessings will follow you or follow as you walk in His way, and He'll never forsake you or leave you. He's here to stay. Remember, church? Oh, God, you are enthroned forever. He'll never forsake you or leave you. He's here to stay. Always remember His words, for they are life's perfect key. For as we choose to think, so shall we be. Church, in 2019, let's think about our God, because He's the most important thing. Let's think of the beauty of the fact that His very words given to us, His heart, His mind, it didn't come from any of us. That's our God. And when the uncertainty comes, and it will, again, I'm hoping for some smooth and some seamless stuff. But when the uncertainty comes, let's embrace Jesus because He is certain. And know this. And we sang about it this morning. Let's be certain, church. One day He's coming again. He's coming back for His own. And that's where the hope, and that's where the joy, and that's where I want you to be and me to be. And that's where our neighbor needs to be. Let's commit. Father, we just want to commit and think as you want us to think and live as you want us to live. And God, just to know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, we just, in all of our frailty, in our humanity, in all of our shortcomings, we simply come as your people, grateful and humble for the opportunities that you will give us this year to speak the name of Jesus. And we pray these things in his name. Amen and amen.